that. So 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. Peter here in this second epistle is focusing primarily on the return of Jesus Christ, his first return to take this church, his second return to set up his kingdom, and even the end of the kingdom when he sets up a new heaven, a new earth. But here he's reminding us that this anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ should have an impact in our Christian lives. It's one thing to believe it in our heads, isn't it? But it's another thing to truly believe it in our hearts to the point that it affects how we live. And that's what Peter is emphasizing here in his final chapter of his final epistle. So verse 11 of 2 Peter 3, he says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." So, seeing that you look for such things, let's pray. Dear Lord, how we love you, and we thank you for the privilege of assembling here and opening your word and hearing from heaven. I pray now that we would open our hearts and allow the word to penetrate and remind us how important this great event will be in our eternity, and how it should impact even how we live our day-to-day Christian lives. But may we bring you glory in this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I shared, Peter here is explaining that Jesus coming back should genuinely have an effect on how we live our lives. And the first area we see there in verse 11, he says, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" You know, we're commanded in the scriptures in 1 Peter 1, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." God wants us to live a holy life, and believing that Jesus is coming back should have that impact in our lives. Look at 1 John 3:3, just over to the right, a couple of chapters. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Here he's also, John is talking about the return of Jesus, and he says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." If we believe, if God was to somehow say to heaven, "I'm coming back tomorrow," let's be honest, we would all change something, wouldn't we? But he may come tomorrow. And so we should go ahead and make those changes and live a holy life. This word holy is important. It is the number one attribute of God in the entire Bible. It's found well over 800 times in the scriptures. It will be the theme in heaven. When Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw all those around the throne, and what were they saying? But holy, holy, holy. That was the only attribute that they were shouting about in heaven, was God's holiness. And the Bible, if you go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says that God's holiness should drive men to fear him. Revelation 15, 4, the Bible says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy." Who shall not fear thee? Who shall not glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. The holiness of God should have an impact in our lives. And God says, "I'm coming back." And if you truly believe I'm coming back and that I am holy, you should live a holy life. As we read here in verse 11, it should affect our prayer time. It should affect our daily walk. It should affect everything about us. And when we do get on our knees to pray, remember that we're on holy ground, like Moses. And so the first thing we see as we look for such things is God wants us to live a holy life as we anticipate His return. But back to our passage, verse 12, the second thing the Bible says, it says looking for it. How many Christians genuinely are looking for the return of Jesus Christ? Genuinely expecting it. You know, it's fascinating as the Apostle John was expecting it. Paul was expecting it. Yes, he was about to be martyred, but he really believed that Jesus just might come back before he got martyred. John believed that the Lord just might come back before he died there on the Isle of Patmos. And he could. We don't know the timetable. All we know is it's imminent. That's all we know. That it could happen at any moment, and it will happen as a thief in the night. And we're told to be ready for it. We're told to be looking for it. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and we'll see this. You know, when John wrote Revelation, right at the very end, he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In Revelation 22:20. He said, "Lord, come." And I think John was saying, "Lord, it's okay with me if you come before I die." I meet a lot of Christians that say, "Well, I'd rather the Lord wait another 10 years so I can enjoy 10 years more of my life and then come back." Especially younger people. You know, us people with gray hair, we're like John. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But notice Titus 2:13, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We're to be looking for it. And as we expect and anticipate it, we're to literally be looking. And that doesn't mean walking around with our head in the clouds, but it means that we are expecting it to happen at any moment. We're looking for the return of Jesus Christ. We're told in Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. And so we see in our passage here in 2 Peter 3, not only should the return of Jesus drive us to live a holy life, we should be looking for His return, but also verse 12 of our passage just says, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Hasting. Do you see what that word is saying? It's saying it's truly not only looking for it, but wanting it. Hasting unto the coming. We're to be actively seeking His return. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And if you would look at Colossians chapter 3, and we'll see that God actually wants us to live our lives for then and not for now. We're to be hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Notice Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, well, that's everyone that's born again. Seek those things which are what? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things what? Above. Not on things on the earth. So we're told that we're to seek those things which are above. We're told to set our affection on things above. It says in verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. This is saying that we're to be hasting, we're to be living for that day. Because when that day comes, everything changes. Amen. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And that's hard for us to get our heads around, isn't it? But it's real. It's just as real as our salvation. It's just as real as the existence of God is that He's coming back. And it should truly impact how we live. We should be living a holy conversation. We should be looking for it. We should be hasting for it. And he goes on to say in verse 14 of our passage, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and without blemish. Jesus said in the Gospels, He said, when the Son of Man returneth, shall He find faith on earth? What a question to ask. When I come back, Am I going to find people still believing in me, still looking for my return? Will I find faith on earth? And we should be shouting back to heaven, yes, Lord, I'll be waiting. I'm looking. I'm expecting. I'm trusting. Yes, you'll find me looking for that day. And until it comes, I'm going to be diligent in my Christian walk. I'm going to be diligent to be without spot, to be blameless, to be found in peace. But I'm going to live a diligent life. And that word peace, how many Christians don't live peace? The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let requests be made unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. We can live in peace every day. We just need to give it all to Him. But beyond that, God says we're to be diligent. Nowhere in the Scriptures are we told to take it easy till Jesus comes. It's just not there. We are told to wake out of our sleep. We're told to get busy. We're told to serve. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. All through the New Testament, we're told to be busy. We're told to be putting our gifts to use, using our time for God, because it will end. When He comes, it's done. And our opportunity to serve Him and to please Him and to win others for Him will be done. It'll be a new chapter in our lives. But until that time comes, what are we to be doing? We're to be living a holy life. We're to be looking for it. We're to be hasting for it. And we are to be diligent. We're to be living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. It's not complicated, is it? And then verse 15, look what he says, 2 Peter 3, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. I love this. Stop and take account. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Well, he's already given us the answer up in verse 9, hasn't he? Of 2 Peter 3. Look what he says in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The longer he waits, the more opportunity there is for one more to be saved. Amen? And we should take account of that God is waiting for a purpose. He wants people to be saved. And as we take account of that great truth, what does it say to us but that we need to be telling them? We might be given the privilege of witnessing to that last person that gets saved before the trumpet blows. Imagine that. That they bow their heads and they trust Christ as Savior and then we're gone. It'll happen to somebody. But account that the long suffering is salvation. That God is not waiting because He's cruel. He's waiting because He loves the world. And He wants people to be saved. He was willing to sacrifice Himself at Calvary so they could be. And He wants as many as possible to find Him and be rescued from their sin because He paid the price. And so as we're expecting that return, remember, not only should we be living for Him and expecting it and living a holy life, but we also need to be doing our part to make sure as many people as possible can hear the gospel before it's too late. Now, yes, the gospel will be preached during the tribulation, but trust me, it's going to be a horrible time. More than 2/3 of the world will perish in all the plagues. Imagine that. Imagine 4 billion people dying. That's a lot of people. So account that it is salvation, that when He does return, everything changes. But until He returns, He's holding back because He's long-suffering. That's what it said there in verse 9. Not willing that any should perish. And so if we truly believe in our hearts, not just our heads, Jesus could come back tomorrow, what would we change? Would we live a more holy life? Would we witness when the Holy Spirit gave us opportunity? to those lost ones that need Christ? Would we expect it and look for it and be diligent and serve Jesus? Will we change anything? Maybe not. Maybe you're already a super Christian. Good for you. But I'd say the rest of us would be honest and say, if God told me He was coming back tomorrow, yeah, there's some things I'd change. I'd get on my knees. I'd get back in the Word more. And I'd certainly witness. And I'd serve the Lord as best I could. Well, guess what? He might come tomorrow. So we should do it anyway. Amen? We should be looking for it. We should be hasting. We should be wanting it to come, but at the same time preparing for it to come as best we can by living a holy life and looking for it and expecting it and being diligent until it happens and telling people about our wonderful Savior so that they can be rescued from that time of wrath like the rest of us. Seeing that you look for such things, what manner of persons ought you to be? Peter asked the question. Seeing that you expect it, seeing that you look for it, seeing that you know that Jesus could come back at any time, what manner of persons ought you to be? Well, the Holy Spirit can answer that question in our hearts, can't He? What manner of persons ought you to be? What a question to ask, seeing that you look for such things. Let's pray.